when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14, "And unto the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee, listen closely now, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent of the sins that are in your life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand outside of the church knocking." Notice with this Laodicean church, he's not in the church, he's outside of the church. You know, there's a lot of people that act spiritual and act like they're Christians, but Christ is not in them. Let us know, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Now, that's the Word of God, but the sad thing is we've come into a time period in this church age, which Laodicea means to be ruled by the laity or the people. It was a democratic type of church set up where the people in Laodicea were very wealthy. This Laodicea was known for many things, and one of them was being very wealthy and rich. What they did was they had a special eye salve that would be sent all throughout the world, that if you anointed your eyes, it could heal you in different problems and issues with your eyes. They were known for making very nice clothing. And because of this industry that they had within this city, they were very wealthy, wealthy people. And the lukewarmness comes from, he says, thou art lukewarm. One of the things about Laodicea was that they had an issue with getting water into the city. They actually had an aqueduct or a special little stream that was probably built out of rock or some form, and they would bring it in from like 6 miles away, kind of like the canal systems that we use out west in places where I grew up, like Arizona. And that water would have to be brought in from higher ranges and places where there was fresh water. But from Hierapolis, there was an aqueduct that was sent, and this water in its travels for 6 to 7, 8 miles, that water would get very lukewarm. And how many have ever taken a drink of something that's been sitting in the sun for a little while? Some of you like to nuke what we call, put in the microwave and nuke your coffee to make it hot. You don't like it lukewarm. Some of you drink the iced coffee or the hot coffee. Some of you like the hot drink or the cold drink, but that lukewarmness. How many have ever actually spit something out of your mouth because of the way that it tasted? And when Christ is dealing with this Laodicean church, he says, I would have you rather be hot or cold because of your lukewarmness. So soon as he began to write this letter to the messenger of Laodicea, he said, because of your lukewarmness, they automatically knew within this city and within this church, when he told them about lukewarmness, they identified that by the water that was brought in through these aqueducts into the city, and it was nauseating, it was lukewarm, it wasn't very pleasant to the taste of the mouth. Something about lukewarmness, and the Lord Jesus Christ likens lukewarmness as a Christian that's not necessarily on fire and not necessarily cold, but they're lukewarm. That he's talking about the half-hearted Laodicean Christians that weren't very faithfully dedicated and committed to serving Christ. So this church was very wealthy. They were very prideful and arrogant. Well, this is the attitude of the Laodicean church, that they thought they were better than others because of their wealth and because of their prosperity in this city. And Christ says, I'm not impressed with your bank account. I'm not impressed with the money that you have. I'm not impressed with any of that. He says, I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will reject you. I will spew you. I will vomit you out of my mouth. He's telling the church, I reject you when you're half-hearted and you're not really in love with me. There was a major earthquake that hit this city, and they were too prideful to ask some of the surrounding aligned cities for help financially. How many of us know when people suffer in other parts of the world, who is right there with financial help, bringing in supplies and food and water? But Laodicea, when they had their earthquake, they were so full of arrogance and pride. They said, we don't want any help. We'll do it all by ourselves. We've got enough money to restore our city. We've got enough men in this city with plenty of money. And this is the arrogance. Amen. And this is the spirit of our age. We've got a government that thinks that we've got enough money to fix it. We've got enough money to repair what's been broken down. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There is a spiritual earthquake that's getting ready to come to this nation. God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. And money's not going to repair or fix what God is getting ready to do. God is still God, and he rules in the heavens above. He resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Laodicea said, we don't need your help. We got enough money. We'll fix the problems. One of the most dangerous things to do as a Christian is to walk in pride. Listen, every one of us got to fight that old devil, that old nature that acts like I don't need any help. I don't need prayer. I don't need this. I don't need that. Listen, we are nothing without Christ. This is the spirit of Laodicea. The problem with them is that they did not want to listen to nobody. They had an opinion of themselves, but not. Oh, listen, how many believe and know that it doesn't matter what you think of yourself or what others think of you? Men can flatter you, but Christ says, you say you're rich, Laodicea. You say you're increased with goods. You say you're in need of nothing because of your wealth. How many of us know that's what the church age that we're living in today has turned into, with this wealth and health prosperity doctrine? Amen. And we got all these so-called faith healers of our day. I believe God is a healer. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Amen. We got a generation of false prophets and preachers that have swindled a generation of simple Christians to believe that if we put money in their bank account, put money in an envelope and lick it and send it to their ministry, if we give, oh, come on now, if we send $91 because of Psalm 91, nothing by any means is going to come to your dwelling. You've heard all of that junk, amen, with all of the oil. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not drinking their Kool-Aid. I believe that I, as a man of God, I have access to God through faith. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, the Laodicean spirit is a spirit that thinks that they have need of nothing. He says that this church had a very high opinion of itself. You ever seen folks that have high opinions of themselves? Boy, they think they're something. Somebody said they're a legend in their own mind. But I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, it's easy, amen, to be a Christian and easy to act strong around people that don't have much knowledge of the truth. I've realized that when I talk to people that can spit a few scriptures out and try to act like they've read a few books and they've studied and they try to throw some verbiage my way that impresses me, and I have to call them out on their false doctrine. I got to call them out. Can I tell you, when a man thinks he's something, when he's not, nothing, he deceives himself. I'm going to tell you, we've got to stay lowly. Let every man understand he must walk in a lowly estate, realizing that I am just a servant of the Most High God. And brothers and sisters, everything that I am, everything that I know, and everything that I have comes from my God. One of the most dangerous things for the church today is to walk in arrogance and in pride, thinking we don't need God because we've learned how to do the ministry work. And now we have a generation that thinks high of themselves. But let's hear what the Lord Jesus Christ's opinion is of this church of Laodicea. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Amen. He says, because that thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17, because you say, this is what you think of yourself. You say you've got everything, increased with goods. You have need of what? And knowest not that thou art. Now here's the spiritual, listen to me, the spiritual diagnosis of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. It is poor. It is wretched. It is blind. If we would really be seen by what's really in our heart, it would scare some of us to death. If God would expose what's in some of our hearts this morning, oh, but God knows my heart. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, amen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why some of us ought to be careful to keep our mouth shut, because we're exposing what we really are from the inside. It's a danger in talking too much. Today's false prophets think highly of themselves. And somehow we've exalted preachers, prophets, evangelists, teachers, amen, pastors, and put them in a category above God's people. When I think of Christ, who made himself of no reputation, but came in the form of a servant. And I'm telling you, what we've done in our day and hour is we have exalted man into positions that they were never promoted to by God. We're putting men and people in positions and putting titles upon their names. When a man is put in a position that he is not qualified for, I'm going to tell you, you got the blind leading the blind. When a man doesn't have the wisdom, when he doesn't have the anointing, when he does not have the integrity, when he does not have the proper counsel around him, that man is a dangerous man to follow. But pride will not let you admit these things. One of the things he said to the church of Revelation, all of them, especially Laodicea, because I think we are typified in the example of what they were is much like us and others. You can go through every church and there's a lot of good things. And what he told each of the churches, if any man has an ear to hear, let him hear my voice. I want to tell you what's the most important thing for us in this hour right now. And that is we must hear his voice. You must be in a position as a Christian to hear the voice of God. If you're not spending time in your word, if you're not spending time in prayer, or if you're not sitting under a pastor that you're confident is a man of God that is hearing for God, amen. Because there's a lot of people that can't hear from God for themselves. That example's given in the Bible to where Eli was Samuel. Several times the Lord had called him, and Eli, even though he was not where he needed to be with God, he recognized that older generation, they can teach the younger generation. But the problem is in Eli's generation, that priesthood had fallen into sin, and he would not restrain his sons. God was rising up another generation, a man named Samuel. He had to learn from Eli and recognize the voice of God. He told him, next time you hear that voice, you need to hear and recognize and say, here I am, Lord. I'm here. Your servant is listening. The most important thing for you as a believer is that you can hear his voice. And I want to ask this question to the church today for my title. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear him? Are you hearing what the Spirit is speaking to you? We are so concerned, many of us, with what everybody else is doing. What everybody else should be doing. You know, everybody's got an opinion, but some of us should just keep it to ourselves. Because I can tell you this. We've got the answer for everybody. They should be doing this, and this one should be doing that. I'm telling you, this one over here and that one over there. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, there comes a time in our life where we can't be worried about what everybody else is doing. We're living in a time where every man's for himself. I've got to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I know that I've got to be there for my wife and my children. But listen, I've got to make it to heaven. I've got to make sure I'm hearing from God. I've got to make sure I stay on the narrow path. There comes a time where you've got to focus on yourself, not with pride, not with self-centeredness, but saying, God, I want to make sure I'm walking with you. I want to make sure I hear your voice and I stay in the purpose, plan, and will of God for my life. Only way you can stay in the will of God is if you recognize his voice. Many people get out of God's will because many of them are too prideful to admit they can't hear from God or they missed hearing from God. Revelation 3 and 20, if any man will hear my voice, if any man will what? Hear my voice. The large majority of the Laodicean church did not have him in. They had him outside. Listen, how many believe it's not about these four walls? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the church. The church is made up of members. The church is made up of women, men, children, boys. Come on now, somebody. So what he's saying, and if we'll see this through the revelation of the Spirit, is that he's not talking about wanting to knock on the door of the church to get in this natural sanctuary. He's saying, I'm standing at the door of your heart. I'm looking to fellowship with you. I'm looking to come and live inside of you. How many of us know you can be in church but not part of the church? And the fear that we're living in today is that we got a lot of people that are in the church building, but they're not in Christ. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you right now, if you don't see this as of the utmost importance in this day and hour, you are going to be deceived and lost. Because there are many that are going to stand before Christ in that day, and he's going to tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. These are they with a prideful spirit like Laodicea that thinks that there's something, thinks that they're increased with goods. Listen, the most powerful deception that we're dealing with today and dealing with throughout all time is self-deception. You know, a man can deceive himself. Trying to instruct us today to understand that you must pray that you can hear the voice of God. How many believe God is still speaking to his church? How many know that God is wanting to speak with them? He's wanting to instruct you. He's wanting to get into your personal life and show you the way. He's wanting to give you an answer for the questions that you have. He's wanting to show you the specific timing to make that decision. He's wanting to show you, I need to stay or maybe I need to go. God is wanting for you not to walk through life with a bunch of question marks of uncertainty, of not knowing what the future holds. But he said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice will they not go and follow. I'm going to tell you, there's some strange voices that can get in your head. There's some strange voices coming across the radio waves. There's some strange prophetic voices in the church world today. There are some strange spirits that are creeping into the church and leading people astray out of the will of God for their life. I'm going to tell you, there's some strange voices out there, and we must know the voice of our good shepherd. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary. He'll come through for you, no matter what you're going through. He's always right. Trust in his keeping power. life has let you down, and your heart is broke in two. Here is what you must do to go on. You must surrender